Morning. Today's daf in Erevin is, hey, we are starting on the very bottom of Daf Amud Beis. We are going to go back to the discussion of Mavui. We took a short break yesterday, even though it's early in the Masechta, but yesterday we talked more about Halacha Moshe Misinai. We talked about Shirin, Chatzitza, Mechitza, all being Halacha Moshe Misinai. We gave examples of each one of them, what exactly of each one of them is Halacha Moshe Misinai. But now we come around and discuss Mavui in Kara in much greater detail over the course of today's daf. We're going to get really to the heart of a discussion regarding the Korah and how exactly the Korah operates. But let's, before we begin the daf, let's just quickly go over the very basics. In the first mishnah of the Masechta, we were introduced to the idea that if I have a Mavui that opens up into Rishus Rabbim, and by definition, the Mavui does open up into Rishus Rabbim, so if I have a Mavui that opens up, so it needs a correction in order to be able to carry the Mavui itself, so it needs a tikkun. That correction is going to be done in one of two ways, either through a korah or through a lechi. Korah is going to be a horizontal beam placed across the entrance of the mavui, where the mavui is going out into the rishus harabim. And as long as I have a beam going across, so that is one way of correcting it. And the other is lechi. Lechi is a vertical pole that one is going to be putting on the side of the entrance of the mavui as it goes out into the rishus harabim. So either through the korah or through the lechi, so one is going to be able now to carry within the mavui itself, carrying from the mavui to an adjacent chatzer. So that's going to require a shituf, which we haven't discussed yet. But right now we're just discussing carrying within the mavui itself. So this tikkun mavui, this correction of the mavui, has been the discussion in the beginning of the Masechta. And specifically, we were talking about the korah, meaning to say that if we're talking about the horizontal beam going across, the horizontal beam, as long as it's within 20 amos of the ground, so it's going to be kosher. That is a point of contention in the Mishnah. Mishnah brought down a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda regarding the maximum height of the korah. The Tanakhama's position is that it could be no more than 20 amos high. Rav Yehuda disagreed. He said it could be more than 20 amos high. And the first two dapim of the Masech, the daf Beis and Gimel, so we spent a lot of time trying to go over and understand the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. Obviously, we're gonna assume going forward that the halacha is like the Chachamim, that it can't be higher than 20 amos. And so the discussion today is going to be around, centrally located around the topic of what happens now if the korah is in fact above 20 amos, or in just a couple minutes from now, we're going to be discussing what happens if the korah is less than the minimum height. Minimum height, what is that? So we touched on this, but now we're going to discuss it later this morning, and that's going to be what if the korah is below 10 tefachim. What do you do under those circumstances? So those are going to be our first two discussions in the course of today's daf. And in the course of the discussion, we're going to touch on what exactly are the fundamental principles of the korah, meaning how exactly does the korah work? In what way is the korah allowing a person to carry within the mavui? That is also coming up in the course of today's daf. Let's begin. We are starting on the very bottom of Daf Amud Beis with the words, Hayigavom Esrim Amma. The Gemara starts off the discussion in the following. Let's say the korah is above 20 amos. So uva lamato, and one wants to now reduce the height. So how is one going to do that? So the Gemara says, how much kama memait? How much is one going to have to bring it down in order to make a kosher? Now, the Gemara itself is almost amused at its own question. Kama memait, so kama deserchle. What do you mean, how much you have to bring it down? As much as necessary. Meaning, if it's above 20 amos, and now you want to reduce its height, so bring it down to below 20 amos, it seems to be pretty clear. In fact, that's exactly the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if it's more than 20 amos, yimat, one has to lower it. And remember the first discussion that we had in the opening of the Masechta, the contrast between the Mishnah here in Erevin and the first Mishnah in Sukkah. The first Mishnah in Erevin says, what happens if it's higher than 20 amos? So our Mishnah over here gives us the correction, and that is lower it. Meanwhile, the first Mishnah in Sukkah says, what happens when my schach is above 20 amos? Puzzle, it's no good. Why can't you lower it by the Sukkah? Of course you can lower it by the Sukkah. So we already learned in the first Mishnah what exactly one is supposed to do if the korah is going to be higher than 20 amos. And that, of course, is you lower it, and you lower it as much as necessary. So the Gemara is almost amused by its own question, but the Gemara understands that what we must be asking is a somewhat more nuanced question. So Ela Rachva Bekama, so the Gemara says, okay, what I'm asking, says the Gemara, is the following, and that is when I'm going into the Mavui, and now I'm starting at the entrance of the Mavui, and I'm heading towards the back wall, so how much of a tikkun is needed there. Now, in order to facilitate understanding of the Gemara's question over here, let's assume the following. You see, up until this point in time, we were assuming that in order to adjust the mavui where the cover is too high, so what we're going to do is we're going to simply take the cover and we're going to lower it. And that, of course, would be a simple adjustment, and that's all that would be necessary. But the Gemara is assuming right now that the adjustment under discussion over here is not by lowering the cover, but rather by raising the floor of the entrance of the mavui. In fact, you can see this in Rashi. Take a look at Rashi on the bottom of the Amud. Uvalamato, Rashi says, what exactly is the Gemara proposing over here? He says, Lasot binyan itzteba, o afar tachas akora ba'aret lema'it gova chalal. So what one is going to do over here is that one is going to add actual material to the entrance of the mavui, so that now the distance between the kora and the ground is going to be reduced, not by lowering the kora, but by rather raising the floor. And that is how it's going to get reduced. Now, is that going to be easier? So over here, the issue is not really easier versus harder. It's just simply a solution in terms of a way of reducing, of minimizing the height. So, and the next Rashi, kama mamait, mashma, kama yajbiya hakarka. So the assumption over here is now is that how I have to raise the floor, and the Gemara's first response is however high I have to. But now that we understand that we're raising the floor, here comes the Gemara's question, and that is, how far into the mavui do I have to go? Now, in order to appreciate this question, let's first start off with an assumption going forward, and that is that the kora itself is only one tefach wide. It doesn't need to be more. Now, the kora could be more, but we're going to assume right now that the kora is one tefach wide. That is going to be a given throughout our entire discussion. And so now I have the kora at the entrance of the mavui, and below it now I have the ground of the mavui, and there's just simply too much distance. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to build up that ground. How far interior do I have to go? Now, let's consider our possibilities as the Gemara now is about to engage in a discussion, which is going to get a little bit complicated, but consider just simply the possibilities. Possibility number one is that I'm going to raise the ground of the entire mavui. Now, that, of course, is labor-intensive, but that's certainly a possibility, but the Gemara never is going to entertain that. The Gemara is going to assume that I don't have to raise the ground all the way into the interior of the mavui. I only have to go a certain amount in. So if we're not raising the entire ground of the entire mavui, so how far interior do I have to go? The Gemara now is going to propose two possibilities. One is that it's going to be just simply the area of a tefach, and that's the area directly underneath the korah. The other possibility the Gemara is going to entertain is that I only need to raise the ground going four tefachim interior. From the entrance into the interior of the mavui, I only need to go four tefachim. Okay, what is going to be the basis of this machlokus? That's going to be the Gemara's discussion. And the Gemara is going to give no less than four different proposals in terms of what exactly this machlokus is going to revolve around. Now, again, I just want to, before we start with the Gemara, I want to give just also another word of introduction, and that is the following. So we have now been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta this idea of the Korah, where the Korah is put at the entrance and is going to serve as an adjustment. It's now going to be a tikkun mavui. It's going to correct the mavui so I can carry within the mavui. How exactly does the Korah work? Meaning, what are the dynamics? What is the conceptualization of the Korah that allows me to now carry within the mavui? And the truth of the matter is that it could be viewed in one of two different ways. And the Gemara is going to be discussing this much more formally coming up later in this parak. Daf Ches, Daf Yud Beis are going to be two dapim where the Gemara is going to be discussing this straight on. But in order to appreciate our Gemara's discussion right now, so we need this information. One possibility is that Kara is Mishum Heker. It just simply serves as a reminder. Now, we kind of touched on this already in the beginning of the Masechta, and we're talking about below 20, above 20, shalta ba'ine, whether a person can see it, whether it's eye-catching. So the idea is that it's a hecker. It's a way of reminding everybody, this is where the mavui comes to an end, and this is where the Rosh Hashanah Rabban begins. Even within this idea that the mavui is serving as a hecker, the question is, a hecker for who? So principally, is it a hecker for the people who are living, not living, but people who are coming from the mavui going out to the street? Or is it for a person who is in the street coming into the mavui? So this is something which we're going to discuss a little bit later on in this perek. So, but one possibility is that Korah operates as a hecker. And the other possibility is that Korah is mishum mechitza, that it's not really serving as a hecker as much as it's serving as an actual wall. Now, that's a little bit tricky to understand. It's serving as a wall. It's not a wall. It's just simply a horizontal beam going across, going over the top. So how is it going to be working, operating as a wall? So this is going to be based on a principle which we kind of touched on yesterday, and that is the idea that what I'm going to do is look at the edge of the korah. Now, it's only one tefach, but there are obviously going to be two edges, an exterior edge and an interior edge. I'm going to be looking at the edge of the korah as if it comes down, similar to the idea which we expressed yesterday of good achis, that halachically we allow walls to go down, we allow walls to go up. Good achis is when it goes down. Good asik is when it goes up. So over here, what we're going to simply say is that one of the edges of the car is going to come down and therefore finish off the fourth wall so that now I can carry within the Mavli. The Mavli now is going to be given not a fourth actual wall, but a fourth halachic wall, and that's how the kor operates, and that is what's called kor's mishum mechitza. Even within this position of kor mishum mechitza, so it still stands to argue and further analyze: is it that the exterior side of the kor that's coming down and now creating a halachic wall for the entrance all the way up until the end, or is it the interior of the kor which is coming down and serving to now close off the mavui? The difference between exterior versus interior obviously would I be able to carry directly under the korah? If it's the exterior, then presumably the answer would be yes. If it's the interior, presumably the answer would be no. All this is going to be discussed in greater detail over this first parak of Erevin, but all this information now becomes readily available for us as we are about to begin our discussion regarding our case over here. So again, let's go over our case. Our case is where the kora is above 20 amos, and now I want to reduce the distance between the kora and the floor. And instead of just simply lowering the kora, the Gemara's proposal over here, as Rashi understands it, is that I'm going to be raising the floor. And now the question becomes, I'm raising the floor certainly at the entrance of the Mavui, and how far interior do I need to go? And this is the Gemara's discussion. Let's begin the Gemara's discussion. El Rechva Bekama, how far interior do I have to go? Rav Yosef Amar Tefach, and Abai Amar Arba'ah. So here the machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abai. Rav Yosef says only raise it one Tefach going interior, whereas Abai says no, you have to raise it four Tefachim going interior. So Lame Ba'akamiflig, the Gemara says, okay. So now in terms of explaining this machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abai, the Gemara says, I have four different ways to present it. Here's the first way to present it. And that is the manda amr tefach, kasavra mutal isham shachas akara. The one that says that it only needs to be raised, the tefach, is of the position that one is allowed to use the area directly underneath the korah. As we now turn to the top of the amud, of Hamad Aleph, or manda amr arbar, and the one who says that it's four, kasavra usr lihishtamish tachas akara. And the one that says four says that it is forbidden to go directly under the korah. Now, in order to understand this Gemara's explanation over here, so let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi over here is going to be assuming that right now, in this first understanding of the machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abaye, what the Gemara is assuming is that the korah is operating mishum mechitza, that it basically serving as a mechitza, and the only question becomes whether or not it's the exterior of the korah that's dropping down or the interior of the korah that's dropping down. In fact, take a look at Rashi. As we look at Rashi together, man da'amar tefach kasavra mutal isham shachas korah, one is allowed to use the area under the korah, da'amar chudo hachitzon yored v'sosem. Rashi says it's the exterior portion of the korah that's coming down. Kedemash malakaman. That's in fact going to be what we're going to see on Dav Ches. Vehilkach gave the shir esrim amma mishum heker hu hari yesh heker lo omed alos tefach she negba tachas korah. And since the 20 amma requirement is as a result of heker, so therefore what is happening now is that it is coming down on the exterior side, and therefore what you all you need to do is just simply build up the area just one tefach underneath. Now this Rashi admittedly is a little bit confusing, because Rashi opens up by saying that the issue over here is which side of the korah is coming down, meaning obviously Rashi is understanding that the issue over here is that korah is mishum mechitza. And then Rashi over here introduces the idea of heker. What is going on within this Rashi? So presumably over here what Rashi's understanding is that basically what we're looking at is some sort of hybrid approach in terms of how the korah operates. Korah operates mishum mechitza, meaning that's a starting point. The question now becomes which side of the korah is coming down. So the Gemara's explanation is that according to Rav Yosef, who says that you only need to raise it a tefach going interior, is of the assumption that it's the outer portion of the korah that's coming down and dropping down. So if it's the outer portion, so that means that I can actually carry within the mavui, not only up to the korah, but even including the area of the korah, because it's the exterior that's dropping down. What is this idea of heker that Rashi is describing over here? Because now that we know that it's the exterior coming down, so now at this point in time, when are we going to be noticing the korah? Because as much as it's a halacha in korah's mishum mechitza, that's true, but at the very same time, there also has to be recognition that the korah is there. According to Rav Yosef, since it's the outer edge that's coming down, so that means to say that all I need to do now is step up into that into that area, meaning the area directly underneath the korah, and now I will be observing the fact that there's going to be a korah over my head, because now the distance between me and the korah is going to be less than 20 amos. So what Rashi over here is doing is basically blending together, number one, the idea that the korah is mishum mechitza, and according to Rav Yosef, it's the exterior that's coming down, and at the same time, however, now that I'm able to carry underneath the area, when I step up into that area, because remember that, now floor is raised directly underneath the korah, so I'll be able to notice the korah over there, and so we blended together the idea that it's really operating primarily through the principle of mechitza, but at the same time, there also has to be recognition. That's all an explanation of Rav Yosef. What about the Shita of Abaye? So the Gemara says, and now as far as Abaye is concerned, as we now are on the top of Hamad Aleph, Umanda Amar Abba, now Abaye says that it's four tfachim, meaning that you have to raise the ground, starting from the entrance of the Mavu, going interior, four tfachim. How does that work? Kasavar Asalish Tamashtacha Zakora. Well, he's of the position that you're not allowed to work and operate directly and carry directly under the Korah. Meaning, and this is again Rashi's explanation, is that it's still working with the principle that Korah is Mishum Mechitza, which side is coming down, not the exterior, but rather the interior. Since it's the interior side of the Korah that's coming down, so that means that I cannot carry directly underneath the Korah. Oh, if I can't carry directly underneath the Korah, so at what point in time now am I going to be recognizing it? Oh, you see, if I'm only building up the ground directly underneath the Korah, it's just simply too late. Because by the time now I've stepped up and I've recognized the Korah, at that point in time now, I'm no longer within the halachic walls of the Korah, because according to Abaye, it's interior that's dropping down. So what I need to do is I need to raise up the floor going further interior. So probably you're wondering, if that's true, so why does it have to be four tefachim? Why can't I just simply make it two tefachim? But to that, the answer presumably is because we have to work with what is halachically recognized measurements. Meaning, after one tefach, what is the next halachic measurement that's significant? It goes from one and it jumps to four. Meaning there is no, halachically speaking, there's no in-between. Either one tefach is significant or four tefachim is significant. So since one tefach is insufficient, as we just explained according to Abaye, because it's the interior part of the korah that's coming down, and so I'm not allowed to carry it directly underneath the korah, so therefore I have to go to the next halachically significant number, which is going to be four tefachim. This is the first explanation of the Gemara in terms of the machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abaye. Again, the way Rashi is presenting it, both are assuming that the Korah is Mishum Mechitza, and now it becomes a question of which side, exterior or interior. Rav Yosef says exterior, Abaye says interior, and therefore what results of that is how much of the ground needs to be raised. According to Rav Yosef, it's only one tefach, directly the area underneath, because as you step up into that area, A, you're allowed to be in that area, and you're allowed to carry in that area, and B, once I step up, I'm going to notice the Korah above me, and therefore I only need to raise the area of one tefach going interior, as opposed to Abaye, who's of the position that no, that I have to raise four tefachim going interior because I'm not allowed to carry underneath the korah because it is the interior of the korah which comes down, and so therefore I already have to be in a position where I could see the korah even before I get to the area underneath the korah. So therefore I have to build up four tefachim of the ground. This is all the Gemara's first explanation. The Gemara's got three more to go. Lo, the Gemara says, no, maybe this is not the way to explain it, but rather this is the way to explain it, and that is the Kuli Amakas of Rimutu Shamashachas Akora. Everyone's of the position that you're allowed to carry underneath the Korah. Uva Hakamiflagi Mar Savakora Mishum Heker, Umar Savakora Mishum Mechitza. And over here, the issue becomes whether exactly how the Korah operates. Does the Korah operate because of Heker, or does it operate because of Mechitza? Meaning that these two diametrically opposed views of how the Korah operates is now going to inform us in terms of how much of the earth needs to be raised. And Rashi explains over here that if I subscribe, Rashi Divra Maskalo, the Kulam Mutter Vahapli Marsava Kora, Shitiknu Chachamim Lamavu Mishum Heker Ba'almahu, the Lalesa Lamisha Vishus Arabim, Vahari Yeshkan Heker, Bechnisa Sam Kishimishnamshin, Tachasakora. So according to the position that Korah is Mishum Heker, so over here, all I need to do is be at a vantage point where I could see it. Meaning I'm allowed to carry underneath the Korah, and I just simply have to be able to perceive and see the Korah. And so therefore, all I need to do is raise it just simply a tefach underneath. However, according to Abaye, that you have to raise four tefachim, what is that based on? So he says that Korah is Mishum Mechitza. And Rashi over here writes, Korah is Mishum Mechitza, and therefore what? Omanda, I'm reading Rashi. Umanda Amar Barkas of a Korah Hamateres B'Mavui Taima Mishum Mechitza Da Amrin Anchuda Chitzon Yored V'Sosem. Now here in the second explanation, it is going to be the exterior that's coming down, and still I have to raise four tefachim of ground going interior into the mavli. And Rashi explains why. And Rashi over here writes, and I'm emphasizing, V'amru rabbanu debitfei me'eshem lo armina yor v'sosem, v'kevan de lo have miut daled, have mechitza ha'asui lepochos midaled. Oh. So Rashi over here gives us a basic rule, which we're going to be discussing over the course of this Masechta, and that is that in order for a wall to be halachically significant, it has to be a wall that is used for an area of no less than 4x4 tefachim. Once I have a wall, its significance only is if it is going to partition an area of anything greater than 4 tefachim, anything less than 4 tefachim, halachically it is not viewed as a wall. Right, that's the kaimalan that Rashi writes over here. I want to reread. The kaimalan bechol duchta de mechitza she'in ruy ledalid lav mechitza hi. Anytime the wall is not there to partition an area for tefachim, it is not going to be a wall. Ein rishus yach lepachus midal tefachim ve'af apishem mukav mechitza shal esrim tefachim ve'gud shoshos dechananya ben akavya nami hachi aminan de'in mechitzas ela imkein yesh toch hachalal arba'a beperek heitzad mishatfim. We're going to see this in the course of the Masechta a number of times. We're going to see it later on. Rashi quotes over here. So, if the way that the Korah is operating is Mishum Mechitza, so therefore the raised area has to be 4 Tefachim, because if it's not 4 Tefachim, so then the Halacha just simply does not recognize the wall, because the wall, by definition, has to service an area 4 Tefachim. This is Rashi's understanding of now the machlokes between Abai and Rav Yosef. So let's just quickly recap. Now in explanation number two, so the way we're understanding Rav Yosef and Abaye, the machlokes is really going to be grounded on how to look at the Korah. Korah is either operating Mishum Heker or Mishum Mechitza. According to Rav Yosef, it's operating Mishum Heker. So there just has to be simply a point of recognition of the Korah. And again, I'm allowed to carry even up to and including the area underneath the Korah. So all I need to do now is just simply step up underneath the Korah. So I only need to raise the area directly under the Korah, that one tefach area that's directly under the Korah, and that would be enough, and that creates the Heker. Masha Einkein, according to Abaye, the way that he understands Korah is that Korah is operating Mishum Mechitza, and the reason why now four tefachim of ground has to be raised is because if not, then I don't have this wall servicing an area of four tefachim, and therefore it is going to be not a wall. It'll be a lack of wall, considering the fact that it's not servicing an area of four tefachim. That's the second way we're explaining the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to give us a third way to explain the Gemara. Ibai same of the Gemara says, or perhaps the Kuliyama Korah Mishum Heker. It could very well be that both Rav Yosef and Abaye are of the position the Korah operates because of a Heker. V'hacha beHeker shomata beHeker shomala kamiflagi. And over here the question becomes the following. Obviously the Heker of the Korah is one tefach, meaning, as we said, it's a given that the Korah itself is only one tefach wide. And so now I'm raising corresponding ground that's below the Korah. So does the Heker Shalmata have to correspond to the Heker Shalmata? Shomala. Mar Savra, I mean, in Heker Shomata, Heker Shomala. So it's going to be Rav Yosef's position that it just simply has to be a match. Meaning, since the Heker of the Korah itself is one tefach, so therefore it would be sufficient if the ground raised above it also is going to be only one tefach. Mar Savra, lo, I mean, in Heker Shomata, Heker Shomala. And whereas Abaye says, no, that the Heker below is not necessarily have to match the Heker of above. The Heker above is one tefach, but the Heker below has to be greater than one tefach. How much greater does it have to be? So again, we're going to go back to that idea that once it has to exceed one tefach, so then we're going to go to the next significant halachic measurement, which is going to be four tefachim. That is Gemara's proposal in terms of understanding it in the third way. And now we get to the fourth way of understanding the machlokas. That really, in the fourth way of explaining it, we're going to say that the way the Korah operates is as a heker. And the truth of the matter is that everyone is generally comfortable with the idea that the Heker Shomata corresponds to the Heker Shomala. And so since the Korah itself is one tefach, the floor below it that needs to be raised is only going to be one tefach. And everyone's in agreement. So the obvious question is if everyone's in agreement, so then what exactly is the machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abaye? And the Gemara says, V'hacha b'gzera shema yivchos kamiflgi. The debate over here is, if we're only raising one tefach, if you think about it, is not a lot of ground that we're raising. That is somewhere in the ballpark of 3 to 4 inches going interior into the mavli, meaning it's the same distance as the actual Korah itself. as the width of the korah. So we're talking about one tefach of ground, so it's going to get stepped on and stepped on and stepped on again, and eventually what's going to happen is that that one tefach is going to be reduced. And so what Abaye is saying back to Rav Yosef is, although fundamentally I agree with you that the heker of the ground being raised only needs to be one tefach, nevertheless what I'm concerned about is that over the course of time, and remember this is a high traffic area, what's going to happen is people are going to step on it, it's going to diminish its width, and you're simply going to have nothing. So therefore, raise four tefachim of ground. Why? Just simply as a gzera, as a concern that if it's only one tefach, it's going to end up getting worn out and literally run over by everyone. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the first to the end of the first sugya of this morning. And what we were treated to this morning is a machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abaye, where I'm raising the floor of the Mavui in order so that the distance between the Mavui and the Korah above is going to be less than 20 amos. And now the question became, how much do I have to raise going into the Mavui? Two options are Tefach versus four Tefachim. Rav Yosef says Tefach, Abaye says four Tefachim, and the Gemara gave us no less than four different ways to understand the Machlokas. And now we're going to go on to the next topic of today's daf, related, but as we're going to see, it's also a slightly difficult sugya, but hopefully we'll try to navigate our way through it with some clarity. Hayapachos me'asar tefachim. The Gemara now discusses the following, and that is that the Mavui is less than 10 tefachim. Now, in terms of practical and practicality, it's kind of hard to see this Mavui. Meaning, presumably, we're talking about not only where the beam is below 10 tefachim, we're talking about even where the walls of the Mavui are going to be below 10 tefachim. That's about 3 feet. Approximately, so you're talking about very low walls. Just to even walk into a mavui where the beam itself is below 10 tefachim, I mean, it's a funny visualization, but basically we're looking at limbo, a limbo bar. And so, but halachically speaking, however, the point is that when I have walls that are this low, and certainly when I have the korah this low, it's just simply too low. In other words, halachically not recognized and not valid. So what are we going to do over here? So again, the simple solution would be, I don't know if it's simple, but one way to solve the problem would be just simply to build up the walls, make them higher, and obviously bring the korah up as well so that it's above 10 tefachim. But the Gemara over here, much like in the previous discussion, is going to talk about adjusting the height by digging into the ground. If you dig into the ground, so now you're going to create an area of what is halachically acceptable, 10 tefachim. And now the question is going to become the following. I have a mavui where the Gemara doesn't say it so clearly. I'm making an assumption, admittedly. But both the walls and the korah are going to be less than 10 tefachim. And what I would like to do now is I would like to make it halachically acceptable by digging from the entrance of the mavui and going interior. And now the question becomes the following. Obviously, and the Gemara is going to make this point in just a moment. Obviously, the depth of the hole that I need to dig is so that now the distance between the ground and the korah is going to be greater than 10 tefachim, or I should say better, 10 tefachim or greater. Now the question is that how far do I have to dig going into the interior of the mavui? So similar to the previous discussion, however, in the previous discussion, the mavui was of an acceptable height. In fact, the problem was the korah was just simply too high. Over here, the problem now becomes the mavui in of itself is no good. Everything is just simply too low. And I'm digging now into the mavui in order to make it halachically acceptable so that it does hit the minimum height measurement. Now, how far into the mavui do I need to go? That's going to be the Gemara's discussion, and let's begin. Hayapachos me'asar tefachim. So if it's less than 10 tefachim, v'chakak bo la'ashlam al-asar, now I'm digging into the ground in order to get to 10 tefachim, kamachokek, how much do I have to dig into the ground? So kamachokek, kamach d'sarachle. So the Gemara starts off the discussion by saying, what do you mean? Same as above. And that is whatever is necessary. The Gemara says, no, ela mashko bekama. So the Gemara clarifies and says, oh, no, the question becomes, how far into the mavui do I need to go in order to make this an acceptable mavui? And Rav Yosef Amar Ba'arba'a, Abai Amar Ba'arba'a Amos, Rav Yosef says you have to go in four tefachim, and according to Abai, you have to go in four amos. Now, over here, same in that it's a machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abaye, but the numbers now have dramatically changed. According to Rav Yosef, you're going in four tefachim as opposed to Abaye, where you're going in four amos. Now, what is that issue over here? So the Gemara is going to discuss this in detail, but before we start with the Gemara's discussion, presumably what is at the point of discussion over here is basically how much of a mavui do I need in order for it to be a kosher mavui, meaning what are going to be the minimum dimensions of a mavui. Now, I'll tell you the truth is that as I go over the Masechta now, this is not going to be my first time going through it, whatever number it is, the point is that I'm appreciating this more and more and just simply becoming more and more in touch and tuned with this idea. Meaning what we're looking at over here is the operative definition of a mavui. It will become a big part of the remainder of today's discussion in the Gemara. Now, what's the difference whether we call something a mavui or something is not called a mavui? So this is something which is clear in the Gemara, and that is that if something is in fact described as a mavui, it's allowed, it's afforded a certain heter that you don't have by a standard enclosed area, meaning a chatzer. We're gonna contrast this a little bit later on this morning. When I have a chatzer, so a chatzer, in order for the chatzer to be considered Rishus HaYachid, in order for me to be allowed to carry within the chatzer, so it has to be an enclosure which is enclosed on all four sides. However, when it comes to the mavui, there is an allowance made by a mavui, a significant heter, and that is that it is only circumscribed by three walls. The fourth wall now is open in total, and it's going out into Rishus HaRabim. How can I carry within the mavui? All I need is either a lechi or kor, as we already discussed in the beginning of Shir today, which means to say that we have an exceptional heter by mavui that I don't have by other enclosed areas. But it has to qualify as a mavui. There has to be a legal definition of mavui in order to enjoy, in order to facilitate this heter. So what we're going to be learning is that what are going to be the basic, not only dimensions, but requirements of a mavui so that it now is classified as a mavui in order to be afforded this tremendous heter that all I need now is either a lechi or kora, and now I can carry within the mavui. So what we're looking at over here is what are going to be both the dimensions and the requirements of a mavui. And now that's exactly what the Gemara is proposing. The Gemara is about to propose that maybe what is at the core issue over here between Rav Yosef and Abaye is that I have something right now which is not a mavui, meaning the kora is below 10 tefachim, and let's assume that the walls themselves are also below 10 tefachim. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to dig interior. I'll start at the entrance, and I'll keep digging interior until I get to the minimum dimensions of a mavui. And presumably, what is that issue over here? The debate over here is, what exactly are the minimum dimensions of a mavui? And so Rav Yosef says, 4 tefachim, meaning when I'm going interior, 4 tefachim now hits the minimum dimensions. As opposed to, Abayu says, 4 amos, meaning Abayu is of the position that it's 4 amos which are going to be the minimum dimensions of a mavui. And the Gemara now is going to say this, but not exactly the same way that I just presented it. Slightly different format, but basically that's what the Gemara is going to propose. Lema b'derabi ami v'rabasi k'mifugi. So perhaps over here, the machlokes between Abai and Rav Yosef is going to be predicated on a position of Rabbi Amin Rav Asi d'itmar. Mavui shenifras mitzido kapi rosho. Let's say I have a mavui. Mavui is perfectly good. Now, when I say it's good, meaning it has its basic dimensions, and on top of that, it also has a tikkun, it also has the adjustment of either the korah or the lechi. And then what happens is that on the side of the mavui there was a breach. So, itmar mishmei de Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi. So, we said in the names of Rabbi Ami and Ravasi, im yesham pasar ba'a. So, as long as by the entrance of the mavui, you have wall of 4 tefachim wide that is going interior into the mavui, matir bepirtzas at eser. So, that means to say now that you can have the breach on the side of the mavui, and it could be up to 10 amos, and that would be fine. Meaning, up to 10 amos, what we're going to look at it as a Pesach, as just simply another doorway into the mavui. The imlav, however, if by the entrance of the mavui, you don't have a four tefach wall at the entrance going interior, the imlav pachos mishlosha matir, shloshein amatir. So then, the gap that can exist in the mavui cannot exceed 3 tefachim. Meaning, if it's greater than 3 tefachim, so that now is going to break the mavui, and the mavui no longer is going to qualify as a legitimate mavui. And 3 tefachim, of course, meaning to say, like we said in yesterday's daf, meaning anything less than 3 tefachim is going to be lavud, and as if there is no gap over there. If it's greater than 3 tefachim, so then no longer can we say lavud, and now the gap is going to be halachically significant, and therefore I lost my status of it being a mavui. And so, if you could picture this well, and by the way, if you have if you have any kind of pictorial aid to the Gemara over here, it'd be very helpful. But if you could picture this well right now, so basically as I'm walking into the mavui, so I'm looking at one of my walls where after four tfachim of the from the entrance going interior, so now there's a gap. So as long as that first amount of the mavui has four tfachim of wall, so now what we're saying is we're good. And anything after that, a gap after that, is going to be considered just simply a Pesach. Obviously, if it exceeds 10 amos, it's no longer a Pesach. Fine. And if that first amount of wall is less than four tfachim, so then that's no good. And presumably, what Rabbi Amin and Rav Asi are teaching us is that the minimum depth of a mavui has to be four tfachim. And what the Gemara now is pointing out is that Rav Yosef Islay de Rabbi Ami. It's that Rav Yosef subscribes to the position of Rav Ami, and Labai Leslay de Rav Ami. And Abai will tell you no, that in order for the mavui to be kasha mavui, it has to be four amos, not four tfachim. And so this is what the Gemara is proposing, is in fact the machlokes between Abaye and Rav Yosef. Amalach Abaye, so Abaye will say, no, hasam sof mavui, hachatchilos mavui. So iika arba amos in ilolo. So Abaye says, the position Rabbi Amin Rav Asi is not relevant to our discussion, because he's just simply discussing what happens when I have a mavui, the mavui is all good, it's all fixed, meaning it's corrected. It's a perfectly legitimate mavui, and then at somewhere proximate to the entrance of the mavui, there happens to be a breach in the wall. But I'm not discussing that, says Abaye. I'm talking about making a mavui from the beginning, tchilas mavui. When making a mavui from the beginning, there has to be a minimum of four amas going into the mavui. If there is, then that's a mavui. And if not, it simply does not have the status of the mavui. And again, the significance being, if it doesn't have the status of the mavui, it no longer is afforded this major leniency of being using a lechi or kora at the entranceway. So Abaye says, leave me out of that discussion because that's not relevant to our discussion over here. Amar Abaye min Aminala, and the Gemara now is going to go over what exactly is going to be the source of Abaye that teaches us that the minimum depth of a mavui has to be four amos. So he's going to bring a following proof. The Tanya we learned on the Brisa, a mavui nitar b'lech v'kara ashu batim v'chatzeres psuchim l'sorcha. So here we saw the Brisa back in Shabbos. We're seeing it now here for the first time in Masechta Erevin. In order for a mavui to be a mavui, in addition to the minimum dimensions, which we're arguing about right now, on top of that, there also has to be minimum two chatzeres opening up into the mavui, and each chatzer also has to have two houses open up to the chatzer. This and only this is going to define a mavui, where it has two chatzeros open to it, each chatzer having two houses opened up to it. Now, iba arba. Now, let's consider what, this is Abai speaking, let's consider what Rav Yosef is proposing, and that is that the mavui only needs to be four tfachim. Four tfachim? Heichem ishkachala. So how in the world can you get two entrances from two different chatzeros if the mavui only goes four tfachim in deep? Now, the Gemara here is making a number of assumptions, and that is, number one, is that right now what we're proposing is that the entrances of the chatzer are on the side of the mavui, meaning not against the back wall, but on the side of the wall. On top of that, another assumption the Gemara is making is that an entrance can be at minimum four tfachim. You simply cannot have an entrance less than four tfachim. So, with that stated, so let's now configure. If we're going to be having a mavui, which is less than, or not less, let's say exactly four tfachim, so where exactly are going to be the entrances of the chatzeres? Remember, there has to be two entrances, otherwise the mavui is not defined as a mavui. So now, let's say I'll have an entrance on one side of the mavui, and on the other side of the mavui. Well, if the entrance is four tfachim, and the entire distance from the entrance of the mavui to the back wall is four tfachim, so basically I no longer have a mavui, meaning I don't even have the walls necessary in order to create a mavui. And that's exactly the Gemara's problem. How can it be? V'chitam de pasuklei bedofen emtzai. So the Gemara says, well, let's assume right now that you were assuming up until now that the entrances to the chatzeres are on the side. The Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe they're against the back wall. The Gemara says, that's not viable. V'amar Rav Nachman akinan ezu mavui shenita b'lech v'kara kol she'arko yeser arachbo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the reason why it's simply not going to work is because there's another requirement regarding mavui, and that is length has to be greater than width. So when I'm looking at a mavui, as it is facing the Rishus Rabim, so it has to be rectangular in shape. Not only does it have to be rectangular in shape, but the shorter distance has to be the one facing the Rishus Rabim and its opposing wall. And the two sides have to be greater in length. Then and only then is it going to be a mavui, plus also the additional requirement that we already went over, and that is that there has to be minimum two chatzeres opened up into the mavui. So, if the sides are four tfachim, the back wall cannot, it can't even be four tfachim. It certainly can't be greater than four tefachim, but it can't even be four tefachim. It has to be less than four tefachim. So once again, now we're at what seems to be an impasse in that once we know what is going to be the requirements regarding a mavoi, so how can I have now two entrances opening up into a mavoi, which according to Rav Yosef is so tiny? Where the mavoi is only four tefachim, where can I put two entrances on the mavoi? So Rav Yosef, the pasach le bekeren zavis. So Rav Yosef says, look, it's possible, and it's possible where you're going to put the entrances at the corner. And you can take a look over here at some very very basic schematic pictures within Rashi in terms of describing this. And if you have a picture book, it's going to be super helpful. But basically what we're going to do over here is that we're going to have a mavoi where it's going to be four tefachim going interior. The back wall is going to be less than four tefachim, but it's possible to put two entrances because what you'll do is you'll start each entrance basically on the side of the mavoi, not going to the back wall, but going a little bit interior against that back wall, meaning the corners are opened up, so you could have four tefachim entrances in each of the two corners of the mavoi. It's possible. And again, if you have a picture book, you're going to see this really clearly. So Rav Yosef says, if this is the only proof that Abaye has, it is possible to configure the mavoi in the way I'm describing it, where the sides are four tefachim, and I could still have two entrances going in. Okay, so Amar Abaye. So that was one attempt to prove Abaye. The Gemara is going to give a second one. And that is Menah Minala. How do I know that Amar Rami Bachama Amar Avun Lechi Aboli Midofna Shal Mavoi? If let's say I have a Lechi that extends from the wall of the mavoi. What we're describing over here is the following. We're looking at our mavui, our standard mavui that we've been discussing now, where it has three walls, and it does actually have a fourth wall. It's lechi habole. Now, we're calling it a lechi, but lechi, as we're going to be discussing over the course of this parak, only needs to be a thin wall against the entrance of the mavui. Over here, it happens to be that this particular lechi is really long, meaning it basically is a fourth wall. And lechi abolim midofna shal mavoi pachos me'arba amos nido mishum lechi. If it's less than four amos, then we could look at it as a lechi. Ve'inu tzarech lechi acher la'atiro, and I don't need another lechi. But arba amos, but, and it's a bit of an irony, that if this fourth wall that's coming out is actually four amos, so nido mishum mavoi. It's just simply now viewed as a wall of the mavoi, ve'tzarech lechi acher la'atiro, and I need another lechi in order to permit carrying within the mavoi. Now, we're going to be discussing this in much greater detail in terms of why that should be. Meaning, why can't I just simply say that now I have a fourth wall? It's a legitimate wall. So we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, what we see over here is that in terms of what is considered a mavoi, so it has to be the minimum shear of a mavoi is going to be four amos. And this would seemingly be a support for Abaye. And Rav Yosef would count, and Rav Yosef would say, and the Gemara says, Rav Yosef, lafuki mitoros lechi, adi ika arba amos, lemme have a mavui. Adi ika arba amos, lemme have a mavui, afilo ba arba tzvachim, nami have a mavui. So Rav Yosef says to Abaye, you're conflating two totally separate issues. Meaning, over there, in that braisa you just quoted, we're going over what is a lechi, what is not a lechi. Meaning up till four amos, you can call something being a lechi. Something can be described as being a lechi. Just simply anything above four amos, it simply cannot be called a lechi. In terms of what is the base minimum amount for a mavui, so it's four tefachim, like I'm saying. You're conflating two issues, and so Rav Yosef just simply dismisses this proof of the second proof of Abaye. So what we stand now in the middle of discussing is the following. When I have my mavoi where the walls and the kora is less than 10 tefachim, and I'm going to dig into the mavoi from the entrance and going to the back wall in order to make this a serviceable mavoi, how far back do I have to dig? Machlok is between Rav Yosef and Abaye. Rav Yosef says only 4 tefachim. Abaye says 4 amos. And the Gemara seemingly proposes that what they're really arguing about is what is the base minimum dimensions of a mavoi, where Rav Yosef says it's 4 tefachim and Abaye says it's 4 amos. And the Gemara now brought in proofs to seemingly support Abaye, but the Gemara deflected each one of the proofs, and basically what we stand over here is a machlokes between Abaye and Rav Yosef in terms of what is the base minimum dimensions of a mavoi. As long as we discuss the lechi, the Gemara wants to come back to it, and the Gemara wants to discuss it in more detail. Gufa, let's go back to that point. Amar Rami bar Chama Amar Ravuna lechi aboli midafna shel mavoi. So now I have a lechi that comes out of the mavoi, meaning it's basically a fourth wall. So pachos me'arba amos, if it's less than four amos, nidon mishum lechi v'yentzarech lechi achil atiro. Anything less than 4 amos, we could view it as a lechi and 4 amos. But once this fourth wall now exceeds 4 amos, so then nidon mishum mavui. So it is going to be viewed as a mavui, v'tzarech lechi acher latiro, meaning to say that now I need another lechi. Now, osan lechi hechem amido. Now, if you can picture this well, so basically what we're looking at over here is a mavui with 3 walls, and actually it's got a fourth wall. But because this fourth wall that's facing the Rishus HaRabim, is going to exceed 4 amos, it's 4 amos or greater, so halacha simply does not view it as a lechi. And so now, in order to adjust this mavui, so I need either a korah or a lechi. Let's assume right now we're going to use a lechi. Where exactly am I going to put the lechi? The Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. So, e demukile b'hade, if I put the lechi alongside the already 4 amah pole, that's not a pole, but the 4 amah wall that's coming out, so usufu hu dekamosif alei, all you're doing is really just adding to the wall. Meaning a lechi, by definition, has to be something which is recognizable. And now, if all I'm doing is just simply adding to the wall, that's tosefes, that's just simply addition to the wall, and that's not going to help. So amar apapa demukile le'idachisa. So the Gemara is going to give one of two solutions. Either, number one, put it along the other side of the wall where there is nothing there, and there is no wall jutting out from the other side, and that's one possibility. And Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Amar Afilu Tema Demukle Ba'adei. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua is of the position that no, you can even put it alongside the 4 amah post and Dematri Bay or Dematzer Bay. And what you could do is just simply make it of a different size than that of the post itself. Rashi over here offers 2 pshatim Dematri Bay Dematzer Bay. Rashi writes Gavo Mimenu and Amoch Mimenu. So either the way of clearly identifying this lechi as being a lechi is just simply either make it higher or lower than the actual post coming out, that fourth wall coming out. Inami, or Rashi says, alternatively, o av mimenu or dak mimenu, or just make it thicker or make it thinner. Kideshi yimshach mimenu v'lachutz o himenu v'lifnim. So that it's basically going to go out from the wall, clearly no longer being part of the wall, but now just simply being a lechi and being clearly identified as a lechi. Okay. So the Gemara now gave us a way of adjusting this mavoi, which already has now a fourth wall jutting out. I can't view that fourth wall as a lechi because it is 4 amos, and I can't see something as a lechi with anything that's 4 amos or greater. And now the question is I'm going to put a lechi, and how exactly do I put a lechi on? And the Gemara gave us 2 solutions. What we have not really covered over here is that in this somewhat unusual scenario where I got a fourth wall jutting out now, into the entrance of the mavui. So exactly how wide was the mavui to begin with? And that is the Gemara's next point. Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Lo Amarin El B'Mavui Shmona. So the way he describes it is that the mavui under discussion over here was 8 amas wide. Ava B'Mavui Shiva, but if the mavui is 7 amas wide, now the Gemara uses the word Sheva over here, Shiva, it should be without the hay. We've gone over this point numerous times, but it's just really helpful in terms of knowing whether the Gemara is talking about Amos or Tfachim. Over here, the discussion over here is Amos. And so whenever discussing an Amos, so that's Lashon Akeva. So when numbering anything in Lashon HaKodesh, so we know that it's a rule breaker. Usually when something ends with a kamate, so it is describing feminine. But when it comes to numbers, it's describing masculine. And so over here, when we're talking about Amos, so an ama is Lashon Nekeva, so therefore the operative conjugation is going to be not Shiva with a kametze, but rather Sheva with no kametze at the end. Okay, anyway, a technical point. If you followed it, great. If not, that's also fine. Anyway, the point is that if the width of the ama is not 8 amas, but rather 7 amas, and I have a board that goes into that width, and that board is 4 amos, so then I don't need a lechi, and the Gemara explains, and I'll tell you why. Niter omen merubel aparts, because consider now that fourth wall that's going into the Rishus HaRabim, it is only 7 amas wide, and I got a 4 amah pole, I keep calling it a pole, a 4 amah beam that actually is going to be blocking that entrance. And that obviously covers the majority of the area. And v'kavachomer mechatzer. And the Gemara says, and consider now the argument that one can make by chatzer. Now, ma chatzer shein an teres b'lechi v'kori. Now, by chatzer, there is no adjustment by lechi v'kori. As we got done saying already a couple times this morning, lechi v'kori is something specific to the mavui. It is a heter specific to the mavui. And you don't have that by standard chatzer. By standard chatzer, you need 4 halachic walls. for, let's say it even better, for real walls that go around the perimeter of a chatzer. So ma chatzer shein niteres b'lech v'kara chatzer, lechi and kara is simply not going to work by a chatzer. And niteres b'om and meru b'al parts. But meanwhile, by a chatzer, if by any one of the four walls I have more wall than I have than I have breach, so then it's going to work. Mavu shein niter b'lech v'kara, by mavu you have this exceptional kula in which that fourth opening could be totally open and all I need is just a lechi and kara and that would work. So ainu din shein niter b'om and meru b'al parts. So if I have more wall than I have breach, so that for sure should work. And so if I have the opening of my mavui being a total of seven amos, and of the seven amos, four of them are now wall, so that is omed meruba ala parts, and that for sure should work. And the Gemara says it seems to be a very clear kavachomer. So the Gemara says, mala chatzir shekim pirtzah sabeser. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when it comes to a chatzir, so what is an acceptable breach in a chatzir? Ten amos. Tomer b'mavui shepirtzah so ba'arba'ah. But meanwhile, when it comes to a mavui, the pirtza, the gap in the mavui, is only going to be acceptable if it's four tfachim, anything more than four tfachim, and that gap is no longer acceptable. Ah, so now we can't make a kavachomer from a chatzer to a mavui because we have a leniency by chatzer that we don't have by mavui, and that now upsets our kavachomer. So the Gemara's response is, Kasav Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua pirtzasa mavui nami pirtzasa be'eser. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua happens to be of the position that I don't agree with that premise. By a mavui, as much as a pirtza by a chatzer is anything greater than 10 amos, I would say the same thing is true by a mavui, that the acceptable breach by a mavui is going to be anything greater than 10 amos. So now a chatzer and a mavui are operating with the same rules, and so therefore the kavachomer is going to still be a good kavachomer. So the Gemara says, Laman Kamrina, but the Gemara says, yeah, but wait one second. We're discussing this within whose position? Le Rav Huna, presumably we're discussing it within the sheet of Rav Huna. V'ha Rav Huna, pirtzasa ba'ar bas v'yirleh. And earlier this morning we went over that according to Rav Huna, a breach of four tfachim is in fact going to upset a mavui. And so if Rav Huna, b'reid Rav Yeshua, who's making his kavachomer, is working within the sheet of Rav Huna, so once again the rules are not the same between chatzer and mavui, and now I no longer have a kavachomer. So Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua time of the nafshei kamar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you were assuming that we're working within the sheet of Rav Huna. That's not true. Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua is not working within Rav Huna's position, but rather working within his own position. I know the Gemara here is a little bit confusing because we're discussing two Rav Hunas, but the Gemara is simply saying that Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua, who is proposing this kavachomer, is not necessarily assuming with Rav Huna, who says that the pirtza of a mavui and a chatzer are not the same. Okay, Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tema B'Mavui Shmona. Now Rav Ashi says, look, we have a four Amma fourth wall of this Mavui. Now, we've said that if the entire width is seven Amos, so then for sure it's good because we had the Kavachomer. Meaning you have now Omed Meruba Ala Paritz, it works by Chatzar, for sure it should work by Mavui. Good. If it's eight Amos up until this point in time, now we're saying it's no good. Why is it no good? Because the four Amma wall can no longer be viewed as a Lechi. A lechi can only be up to four amas. Anything four amas and above simply cannot be viewed as a lechi. You also are not given the principle of omed meruba ala paritz because it's four plus another four. Four wall, four breach. So it's equal. And so therefore, you need another lechi. And where do I put that other lechi? We already discussed. What the Gemara now is suggesting is, and this is all b'shem Rav Ashi, is that no, even if the width of the entrance is a total of eight amas, my four amma wall will be good. Why will it be good? I don't need another lechi, manavshach. Because consider, e omed nafish, because here's what we're assuming. Let's assume now that the total width is eight amos, and the wall itself is four amos. Now, do we know all this with precision? Not necessarily. And so therefore, e omed nafish, let's say I have more wall than I have empty space, so nitam omed merub ala paritz. Meaning that, if the actual wall itself is just above four amos, so now I have more than 50% of this area covered by wall, and that obviously works. It works by chatzer, should for sure work by a mavui. And e parts nafish. Now, if let's say the breached area is greater, so nida mishum lechi. So that means that the wall is just slightly underneath, less than four amos, and now we can view it halachically as a lechi. So mayamar deshava tarvayu ki adadi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's a third option. And in the third option, so it could be that they're equal. It's four amos of wall, four amos of empty space. So the Gemara says, havelei safik divrayim. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's a safik. We don't know. And safik divrayim lahakal. And over here, we're talking about a din derabanan. And so since we're working, we're going on a din derabanan, so therefore we could be makel. Now, over here, a lot of discussion on this, on the Gemara's conclusion over here, that this is a suffik divrayim, that this is something which is a case of suffik. Meaning, over here, what do you mean we don't know, and therefore it's a suffik? Why don't you take out a measuring tape and measure? And if the issue is whether efshal etzamsem or e-efshal etzamsem, so that is a major discussion, meaning when I have something where I have the ability to measure, so can we be precise with our measurement? So this is a discussion the Gemara has on a number of occasions, whether efshal etzamsem or e-efshal etzamsem. It happens to be that this is coming up later in our perek, and we're going to be discussing this on Daf Tes Zayin. Tosfos over here cites that. And so if I subscribe to the idea of e efshal etzamsem, so then fine. So then the Gemara suffix isn't as at hand. But if I subscribe to the position of efshal etzamsem, that we can be precise in our measurement, so why is the Gemara over here describing it as a suffix? Take out the tape measure and measure it. So it's a little bit bizarre. Tosfos on the bottom of the Amud, which goes into the top of Vav and Aleph, discusses this extensively in terms of whether or not this is something which is subject to precision or not subject to precision. And Tosfos goes and discusses why over here the Gemara just simply assumes that we don't know and we can't know. Meaning, why is the Gemara over here adopting the position of E. Efshal Etzamsem? So see the Bam Tosfos, who discusses this at length. In the meantime, however, gives us an opportunity to review what is, let's call this daf today, difficult. Although difficult, but truth of the matter is that it really touches on so many of the core principles regarding how the Korah works, how the Lechi works, and the conceptualization of each of the of these structures. So it is. There's a lot of information that was poured into today's daf, but it gives us a chance to review. The first topic of discussion that we had today was what happens if the korah is above 20 amos. And now what I want to do is I want to raise the floor of the entrance in order so that the distance between the floor and the korah on top is less than 20 amos. So how much do I have to raise going interior into the mavui? Machlok is between Rav Yosef and Abai. Rav Yosef says one tefach, Abai says four tefachim, and the Gemara started off with no less than four different explanations of what is the Nekudah Machlokes between them, and a lot of it revolves around the issue of whether or not the Korah is operating as a Mechitza or the Korah is operating as a Heker, or, like we discussed, maybe it's a hybrid approach. Maybe it's Korah and Heker. Sorry, maybe it's Mechitza and Heker. So that is our first topic of discussion. Our second topic of discussion is where the Mavui is less than 10 Tfachim, and the way we're going to fix this Mavui is by digging into the ground of the Mavui. In order to now make the area an acceptable area of 10 tefachim. How far interior do I have to dig? Again, machlok is between Rav Yosef and Abaye. Rav Yosef says you have to go interior 4 tefachim, and Abaye says you have to go interior 4 amos. And presumably what at the core of this debate is what is your basic minimum depth dimension of a mavui, where Rav Yosef has it as 4 tefachim and Abaye has it as 4 amos. The Gemara went back and forth on this topic. The Gemara brought in a couple of braises that seemingly support the position of Abaye, but Rav Yosef deflected those proofs. The Gemara then went to tackle if, in fact, I have a mavui where the lechi that juts out is more than just a pole, but it's an actual wall that juts out. So if it exceeds 4 amos and that fourth wall that's jutting out, so then I can no longer view it as a lechi. A lechi can only be viewed as a lechi only up to 4 amos. Anything that exceeds 4 amos cannot be viewed as a lechi. With that stated, so what do I do in order to correct this mavui? So the Gemara gave a number of suggestions. One is that if we can't view it as a lechi and we have to put in another lechi, either put it by the opposing wall or make it on the wall that's jutting out, just simply make it irregular. Make it either taller or shorter, says Rashi, or make it wider or thinner. Then the Gemara says, when we're talking about a wall now that's jutting out 4 amos, how wide was the entrance of the mavui to begin with? If it's 7 amos, so the Gemara says, then for sure this mavui should work because we have the principle of omid meruba ala parts. I got more wall than I have breach, and that by chaser serves as a wall. Certainly by mavui should serve as a wall as well. If it's 8 amos wide and it's a 4 amos wall, so then presumably I need another lechi. Although Rav Ashi says, even in this case, I don't need another lechi, because Rav Ashi says, because under those circumstances, think of the possibilities. One possibility is that I have just a little bit more wall than I have breach, so then the mavui works. Or the other possibility is that I have a little bit less than wall than I have breach, but if I have a little bit less than wall, that means that the wall itself, that fourth wall, is less than 4 amos, which means now that it can serve as a lechi, that too now gets a check. And what is my And what is my third option? My third option is going to be that they're actually equal, and under those circumstances, it would not be good. Meaning, it can't be viewed as a lechi. Nor can I say that it's omen merubah laparos. So under those circumstances, no good. But since two possibilities arise, me at a conclusion that it's good, and once it's no good, so then Rav Ashi argues that this mavu is going to be fine, and the Gemara describes this as a suffik devrehim. And we just finished off by saying it's a difficult suffix to understand, considering the fact that we can actually take out a tape measure and we can measure. And the Gemara describes this as being a suffix. That certainly is a tremendous chiddush, but that's how the Gemara describes it.